Massachusetts officials and Washington lawmakers are pledging to protect affordable housing from a new onslaught, investors looking to cash in on real estate. It's a problem housing advocates say has been growing in recent years and was detailed in a recent WBUR investigation. Lawmakers say these investors are seeking outsized profits for themselves while undermining Congress's intent for the federal government's main program for funding and renovating low-income housing. Here with us to talk about the story and reaction to it is WBUR investigative reporter Beth Healy. Hi there, Beth.
Hi, Bob.
So first of all, explain how the program works.
Well, Congress designed this back in the 80s as a way to attract investors. The idea was to get banks and other large financiers to partner up with nonprofits to fund low-income housing in exchange for tax breaks. So after 15 years, the tax breaks are done, and the nonprofit generally would have a right to buy out the investment partner at a low price and take ownership of the affordable property.
So your reporting, Beth, found that these deals worked and then ended quietly for many years, but more recently investors have been challenging the status quo.
Exactly. Some investors have found language in the contracts they believe leaves wiggle room for them to demand more money on the way out the door. So they're challenging nonprofits, trying to extract cash payments, waging expensive legal battles, and sometimes trying to force a market rate sale of low-income property.
And you have a local example of this. In Boston's South End, a neighborhood that's become very wealthy, as we know, pushing many people out. But a nonprofit called the Tenants Development Corp, or TDC, has managed to maintain many of these affordable units there, right?
Yes, and a Denver investment firm called Alden Torch Financial is blocking TDC from acquiring 36 brownstones that it's managed for decades. At the end of the 15-year tax deal, TDC offered $17 million to end the partnership, but Alden Torch expected more and said it could get as much as $54 million in the open market. So now the two are locked in litigation in state and federal court. Here's Sheila Dillon. She's housing chief for the city of Boston.
Preserving all of our affordable housing in Boston is very important, but it's especially important in neighborhoods such as the South End, where property values have risen and there has been a significant amount of displacement. So we very much want TDC to maintain ownership of this property. One, so 185 families can stay in their units, but two, because we want to make sure that the South End remains as diverse economically and racially as possible.
So Beth, what's the risk if TDC can't own the buildings?
Well, these units do have to stay affordable for at least another 15 years by law, and there are some other protections, but the risk is that a new owner could flip the property and jack up the rents.
We've heard from City Housing Chief Sheila Dillon a moment ago, but what does the City of Boston say it can do about this?
Well, the city seems very concerned about TDC and other tax credit deals that are expiring over the next few years. Cases in Cambridge, New York, Miami, and Seattle all show how fraught these lawsuits can be, with firms like Alden Torch and Wall Street's AIG, American International Group. Lawmakers say these battles threaten affordable housing and subvert Congress's intent. And there's an added complexity here, Bob. Some of the original investors have sold off their housing interests to these more aggressive firms. Dillon says the city is going to have to keep an eye on every one of these cases as they come up.
We are looking at how do we, when a deal is put together, make sure that we have more control over these sales years down the road. The idea that limited partners are trying to, you know, force sales and make these properties no longer affordable is pretty despicable.
Alden Torch sent us a letter after the story ran, claiming that the affordability of the South End properties won't change, but it also says that it should be able to profit from the appreciated property value.
And what about state officials? Have they said anything about this, Beth?
Yeah, at a news conference Thursday, Housing Secretary Mike Keneally said they're looking at the issues raised in the story.
It will inform how we make other affordable housing awards going forward to try to build in some more safeguards for that kind of thing. There are potential legislative fixes at the federal and state level, but it's something that caught our attention.
And what about Washington, Beth? What's Congress going to do about this?
Senator Ron Wyden, a Democrat from Oregon, is chair of the Senate Finance Committee. Through his staff, he says he's working on legislation to clarify Congress's intent. His statement to us, and I'm quoting here, "The low-income housing tax credit was meant to ensure the availability of affordable housing for working families, not to give private equity firms the opportunity to bleed nonprofit organizations dry or force the sale of affordable units for a massive profit."
Has the Massachusetts delegation weighed in?
Congressman Richard Neal says the issue has come to the attention of the House Ways and Means Committee, which he chairs, and that lawmakers there are examining how to make sure firms in the program are following the law's intended purpose.
All right. And what are the chances that Washington will actually do something or anything about this, Beth?
In our investigation, we found that no one is regulating this at the federal level. Even though it's an IRS program, $8 billion a year in taxpayer money, and the states are left scrambling to find solutions. So fixing this problem looks to be fairly complex. Congress could amend the law moving forward, but it's a tougher nut to crack, apparently, to deal with the existing contracts that are facing challenges now. And that puts homes for thousands of people at risk.
All right. So much more to come on this, Beth Healy, I guess.
Absolutely.
WBUR investigative reporter Beth Healy, thank you very much.
Thank you.